I'm joined by Gary Stevens, magnificent rider, not only Hall of Fame jockey, but one so talented he managed to win many races on horses that I trained. Good morning, GL.
Good morning, dude. Good morning. You put me on nothing but good ones, dude.
Yeah, I always did. I didn't want to put you on any bums. The people kind of got wise to that after a while, but
good times.
Yeah, we had some fun together. It's been said that we know our souls are immortal because we always feel the same inside. Internally, do you still feel the same as you did in 1995?
Absolutely. I'm probably enjoying myself more than I was back in those days, because I was just so overwhelmingly busy on planes and riding as many as I could, and it just seemed like I was constantly on planes and never really got to enjoy those special moments as much as I should have been able to at the time, but I'm enjoying them now.
Well, you and I know that Wayne Lucas still loves to win when the whole world is watching, as he likes to say. So for me, the Louisiana Derby is just another Gary and Wayne attacking the Kentucky Derby. But we're all grandfathers now. Does it feel any different to you this time?
It's funner. probably the most gratifying win in my career, I would say, as far as personally, was with all my Triple Crown wins and races internationally and the Breeders' Cups and stuff, when Wayne led me into the winner's circle on Oxbow and the Preakness, that was as good as it gets. And he looked up at me, and I looked down at him, and he said, "It never gets old, does it?" And I said, "No, it gets sweeter."
Yeah,
and that was a moment I'll never ever forget.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, it was one of those transcendent moments. We lost Thunder Gulch this week, and I was walking back to my barn at Santa Anita and saw this chestnut machine come off a van and stand in the sunshine, and what presence he had. Later in the morning, I asked Kim Davis who he was, and she told me Thunder Gulch, and she said, "He's supposed to be really good." talk about Thunder Gulch.
he was such a warrior, man, and you called it the presence he had. He just carried himself in a different way. From the first time I sat on his back in 1994, I flew back and picked him up in the Remsen, and they just this is the second time running for Lucas, and Todd Pletcher saddled him that day, and he said, "Man, it'd be really important if we win this race, get a piece of it. We got a new client," and he didn't run so good the first time we ran him, and the horse, he walked over and he went to leg me up, and I'm thinking, I wonder how much they paid for this thing, because he's not very big, not very tall. And Todd legged me up, and I had to drop my stirrups, three holes on each side. That's how wide he was. When we walked down that track, he owned that track, and he was a pain in the butt going through the starting gate. He was trying to savage the pony and just doing everything wrong he could to annoy us. It was like a little kid in the first grade that didn't want to be there, but since he was there, he was going to have a good time. And the gate opened. I finally got him in the gate, and the race started. He was leaning on the horses outside of me. I mean, getting out, just laying on him. I got him around the first turn, finally, and we turned down the backside. And he picked a horse in front of him on the inside to start leaning on. And he continued to lean on him all the way around the far turn and into the stretch. And I literally had both hands on the outside rein trying to keep him from knocking the other horse over the fence. And I couldn't let him run. And we're head and head for the lead. Finally, two jumps before the wire, I dropped his head, and he got down, and I got up and won by a head. And I thought, I came back and I said, this horse just did everything wrong he could in the race, still won. And that was just him. And he did it all the way through the spring in the Holy Bowl and or the Fountain of Youth, excuse me, and the and then again in the Fountain of Youth. And I was overseas riding in Hong Kong, but I was keeping track. And he'd get up and he was winning by noses and heads, the same as he did when I rode him. And truly a racehorse, but it didn't look like he'd grown up yet. And then came back and ran the bad race in the Fountain or in the Bluegrass, ran fourth. Pat Day rode him because Mike was tied up with Talking Man, and I'd been tied up with Larry the Legend, and then come in, went on Larry the Legend, and he broke down. He won, but flew back to Hong Kong and Wayne started calling immediately, wanting me to come and ride him in the Kentucky Derby. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't really want to go because I'd been doing so much flying, and I thought, man, he's you know, I'm going to have to get really lucky to win it. And finally, on the third day, Mike Smith called me, and he said, Gary, this horse has got a shot to win the Derby if he runs like he did in the Fountain of Youth in Florida Derby. You know, do yourself a favor and get on a plane and come over here. He says, I don't know why he ran like he did in the Bluegrass because I wasn't on him. So that's why I came. And for whatever reason, on the first Saturday in May, he turned into a man. I mean, he won with authority. He didn't wait on horses. He didn't lean on horses. He was all business that day, and he continued to just thrive the rest of that three-year-old year.
Well, that photo of you standing up and yelling at the wire, that's an iconic photo. I mean, does it embody the feeling of elation winning the Kentucky Derby that so many people try to describe, but they can't do it?
Yeah, I think that photo says it all. It puts your emotions into still time. And, what you see is what I was experiencing, and it's a feeling that, you know, I've only had three times. That special a feeling.
Yeah, that photo always gives me goosebumps. I mean, every time I see it, I just go, wow, that's amazing. So I read Tom Padula's recent article about you, and you said Bravazo reminds you of Thunder Gulch. Does that give you a lot of confidence going into the Louisiana Derby?
Yeah, because I know he's a fighter. He's a grinder, and what he did with me the first time I rode him, the length of the stretch, and it was a short stretch that day because it was only a flat mile, and he got away poorly, and I got shuffled back pretty good. He didn't really get away back poorly. He got crunched the first jump, and then I got shuffled back, and I finally was able to angle him out down the backside, and he just started picking off horses, but because of that short stretch, I put him in a long drive, and he'd been off for a while, and I thought coming into the stretch that he had to get tired, you know, off that layoff and as long as drive as I'd put him into. But I'm thinking, well, I'm riding for Wayne Lucas. He hasn't fit. He's yeah. been getting after it in this cold weather and rain, been galloping around the shed row and whatnot. And, you know, the last 50 yards, I didn't know if I was going to get up or not get up, very similar to when I'd ridden Thunder Gulch the first time, and man, he dropped his head right on the wire and won by a head. And then when I watched the Risen Star, it was the same thing. You didn't know if he was going to win or run second until the final jump, and he found a will to, you know, stick his head down and win. And you know, that was the first thing when I came back and told Wayne that day when I won on him. I said, we might have another Thunder Gulch here. And he smiled, and he said he reminds me of him too. He's just he's a bulldog. He's a good looking horse and carries himself well, and he has a good mind, and he's still maturing is a good thing. That's the upside. It's he's improving with every race, and let's just hope he keeps to improve and take those steps forward, because he's going to have to.
Yeah, well, there'll be a lot of people rooting for you and Wayne on Saturday, because one more Kentucky Derby from you guys would make us all feel a little younger. We got our friend Mark Otto with us.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Gary, how you doing?
Great.
Mark tells me you've got some exciting things coming up. Mark, why don't you ask Gary what's happening?
Yeah, we're really excited about the night with Silver Charm and Touch Gold. We're going to have Gary and Chris McCarron and probably a little cameo by Bob Baffert to do a fundraiser for Old Friends Farm, sponsored by Red Brand, HRRN, and several other people, Country Boy Brewery. That'll be happening sometime mid-April. Gary, you want to talk about it a little bit?
Yeah, well, I've first of all, that event, it's going to be a lot of fun. I love going to Old Friends and seeing what they do with aftercare with all these old famous racehorses and the life that they're living there, the enjoyable life that they're living there and the care that they're getting, but also reach out to the people that help support Old Friends. And it's a deep list in the industry, and I think it's come a long ways, the aftercare of these thoroughbreds when the career's over with on every level. But Red Brand is a huge supporter of not only Breeders' Cup with their sponsorship there, but also in the aftercare of these thoroughbreds, and they've been a big part of old friends. And I've teamed up with Red Brand very recently, and going to be part of the team and getting the word out there on the fencing and how much we do love this sport on and off the racetrack itself. And Red Brand has many different products, but they're known for their fencing. And many of the thoroughbred farms in the Lexington area and nationwide use their fencing, and they're the safest fences out there, protecting some of the old horses that I've rode so much. I know Beholder's paddock is the Red Brand fencing,
and so is Thunder Gulch.
Yeah, and isn't it the Safe Fence? Is that what it's called?
Where Keep
it's,
Safe Fence. Yeah, the V-mesh. Safe. A lot of people know it as the Claiborne fence. It actually absorbs the energy. If they run into it, it really reduces the neck, knee injury, fatalities, keeps them on time, keeps them on the track. And,
right.
Yeah, we're really proud to be partnering with Gary.
It keeps other vermin out of the field, too, doesn't it?
yeah, just so as important for what it keeps out as what it keeps in.
Yeah, and protected from what's outside that doesn't need to be in there with them. So anyway, we've just joined forces, and you're going to be seeing a lot of Red Brand stuff on Gary Stevens in the future, in the mornings and in the afternoon. So looking forward to a long time partnership.
We're really honored to be part of that. This Silver Charm and Touch Gold event's going to be really neat. The cool thing about it, and one of the things that Michael Blown and I were talking about, Silver Charm is kind of like almost like a backstory. Almost every person's life that he touched, every person's path he crossed, he changed their life, from the Lewises to Bob Baffert to Gary. It's really kind of amazing how many, even old friends. He was the turning point at old friends that really got the attention of the industry.
Yeah, well, he's such a beautiful horse, and even to this day, he's really, really cool. I know, Gary, you know Christian Mendoza. She came out here for a sale at Keeneland. I took her over there. She used to gallop Silver Charm, and, I mean, he came right up to her. And it's so cool to see these old horses. And Touch Gold, I took a film of him galloping up to me at his paddock and sent it to Dave Hoffman. It's just an amazing horse as well. They do such a good job out there.
I'll tell you a quick story. The last time I was out to visit the first time I'd gone out there, there was a lot of media out there, and Silver Charm had just come back from Japan and just gotten out of quarantine, and it was a cool moment. But there were cameras everywhere and a lot of people, and I got to spend some time, but not the kind of time I wanted to spend, so spent some more trips. But my last trip, I went out there and spent a bunch of time with Silver, and he came walking up, and he's pretty laid back, eating carrots and stuff, and unbeknownst to me, that in the paddock directly across from him was Touch Gold. It's like, that's the horse that cost us the Triple Crown. You got to stick him in the paddock directly across from him. So I'm laughing, and I go walking over, and I'd ridden Touch Gold twice. You know, I win the what's the prep race? It's after the Bluegrass at Keeneland.
The Lexington.
Anyway. The Lexington won on him by like 13 lengths, and I told David, I said, look, I'm already tied up on Silver Charm and the Derby, but do yourself a favor. This horse ran huge today, and it's probably too quick back for him in the Kentucky Derby, but he's a Preakness horse, and if I get beat on Thunder Gold or on Silver Charm, I'd love to ride him in the Preakness. Well, he stumbles in the Preakness, maybe should have won the Preakness and still run fourth, tore half his foot off leaving the gate, and who's the horse that come and nails us in the Belmont with Touch Gold? But anyway, Thunder Gold, Silver Charm, he just kind of trots around out there. There's not a lot of galloping going on from Silver Charm at this point. But I see Touch Gold standing quite a ways away, and he's eating, picking some grass, and I whistle, and he started trotting, then he came into a full gallop, and I had some crackers, carrots and some candies and stuff, and he stops And the son of a gun reached over the fence and bit me. I said, really? I said, after all these years, that's what you're going to do. You're going to bite me and rub it into me even more. But it was a pretty cool moment. The guys, they were laughing, and it was a really good day. And it's a lot of fun to go out there and see these horses.
You know, another fun one, Gary, is the horse that stands between those two, Popcorn from
– Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was another one that has some history with you.
Yeah, he was one of the 12 Seabiscuits in Seabiscuit, and he was actually one of the laid back Seabiscuits. He would all of the scenes, like the Winter Circle scenes where they had the old time cameras with the loud flash bulbs. We were shooting a scene. It was supposed to be after the match race, and there were a ton of people in Winter Circle, and one of those cameras, the light bulb actually exploded, and everybody jumped. Popcorn, he just stood there and looked around like, so what? But he could run, too. It was the amazing part is he was the horse that I would ride in mid-pack, you know, as Seabiscuit. They were all marked identical, but we had one with speed, one that could handle a lot of excitement around him and not bother him. So,
well, and his sire was Afternoon Delights.
What's that?
His sire was Afternoon Delights.
Yeah, his name is Popcorn
Delights. Popcorn Delights.
Yeah, yeah.
Very cool. Well, we know you got a busy day, but Mark and I are very excited that it came out today that you're going to ride in Kentucky and then on to Saratoga, two places that we frequent in the spring and fall. So it's going to be great to have you around, and we'll get together when you get here.
It sounds good, Jude. I know that Angie and Maddie, they're looking forward to getting back to Kentucky, and we love Saratoga, so. Fingers crossed everything holds together the way it is.
Well, have horse wheel travel, Gary Stevens, everywhere you want to be.
Thanks for joining us, Gary. We look forward to seeing you.
All right, guys. Thank you.